is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Astros lose last night. OU and Texas trying to, according to the Houston Chronicle, trying to get into the SEC. That happened. We got a lot of coaching stuff to talk about from media days and whatnot. We also got Tom wants to get in here. He's been waiting to talk. So let's get Tom in here to talk about this SEC thing. What do you say, Tom?
Morning, fellas. First off, I would just want to say thank you for being so awesome. You guys are the best sports talk I've ever heard, and I love listening to you guys every morning.
Thanks, Tom. You're the best listener we've ever heard.
Well, a couple of points. You may not like me so much after I say this, but a couple of points here about Texas and OU wanting to get into the SEC. I think, you know, Texas has been bad in football in the last 10 years, and that is, you know, it sucks. But it hasn't been, I mean, if you look at the last 10-year stretch, it's been the same kind of accomplishments overall that A&M has made, in my opinion, with the Sugar Bowl win and, you know, one New Year's Six Bowl and all that stuff. Whatever. The only reason that I would be for it would be to see the meltdown come out of College Station, because they have spent the last 10 years and their sole identity has been the SEC, and now all of a sudden this is threatening it. I don't care if it happens one way or another. Another point is you guys talk about how Texas hasn't been very good, but as an athletic program as a whole, it has been the top athletic program in the country for the last 10 years. They've got over 200 Big 12 championships, one as an athletic conference. The second best team in that conference is Oklahoma, and they've got 86. So if you think the SEC wouldn't want to have the Director's Cup champion come into their conference, you're fooling yourself. I'll hang up and listen.
I think the Director's Cup champion talk is the loser talk of a team who isn't great at football. Now, and Tom, honestly, I'm a fan of the non-revenue sports. I like watching them when I can, but this isn't a Director's Cup move. This is a football move. This is what it is. And it's not a question, and I'm not questioning whether the SEC would want you or not. That's clear. I get why they would, but it's about football. Now, the SEC is one of those things where they'll chant SEC for everything. So if you guys win I don't know what you guys are great at. I mean, if you win a baseball title, they will be all in on chanting SEC because it adds to the coffers. But it's not a baseball move. It's not even a basketball move. It's a football move.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And that's what's driving all of this.
Well, I'm looking through all of your national championships and whatnot and your conference championships. It's not, I don't think it's as spectacular as you're really making it out to be. Major bowl game wins. Obviously, you had
Georgia.
The big one against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. The Rose Bowl you won in 2006, Fiesta in 2009, Cotton Bowl in 2003, Orange Bowl in 1965. You won the Texas Bowl in 17. Now you're talking about basketball. Conference championships, your last one was 2008. Conference tournament championships you won this year, 2021, which was nice.
And then you lost to Abilene Christian in the first round.
Right. Women's basketball, 2004 was your last one. Conference tournament championship, 2003.
I'm sure there's some.
Baseball, pretty good, 2000. Regular season championships, 2018. Before that, 2011.
Is he talking about national titles or conference titles?
I don't know what he's talking about. Softball hasn't really been all that tutti frutti. Men's golf. You're a men's golf school. No, listen, I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just saying you haven't dominated. You haven't dominated. Okay, you've got conference championships in men's golf, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. That was when you had really, really good players.
I'm sure.
You know, you had Jordan Spieth, you had Scottie Scheffler, you had Dylan Fratelli. You had really good players.
I'm sure you and Stanford go back and forth for the Director's Cup title in sports that no one actually watches.
Men's tennis, you've been, well, 2019. Women's tennis, 2019, 18, pretty good. Track and field, you've been pretty good.
They took home three national titles, swimming and diving for both
Where
women.
Where is this Director's Cup thing you're talking about? I don't see.
I find that, no, they did win it.
Yeah.
It's given out by Learfield IMG, and it's usually won by Stanford. But this year, Texas won it. The release was on July 2nd. They won three national titles, men's swimming and diving, both women's rowing and women's tennis, and a runner-up finish in women's volleyball. Texas took home the title with 1,252 total points. So this is what Tom is talking about.
Well,
and like I said, it's the talk.
SEC can't wait to get that.
And like I said,
you know, that women's rowing.
It's the talk of a team who isn't great at football and their basketball team disappointed. That's what that is. This is what Stanford leans on. And look, Stanford's an institution of very high learning. So we'll take it from Stanford when they do this. Because look, it's Stanford, whatever. They're great at being smart people and winning Director's Cup titles. But Texas, stop it.
And that's fine.
Though. But don't call in and use it as why the SEC would love you. They love you because of your brand and the money you'll bring
they
in.
They love you because that Texas name on football. That's why they love you.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing else. It ain't your Director's Cup. They don't give a rat's ass about women's rowing.
He played his hand at the very beginning of the call. He said he loved your show.
Yeah.
And he thinks you're the best.
Right, but you're not going to like this.
So,
but then he says, "Yeah, but you're probably not going to like this." Thing, and you know what? Listen,
I don't.
You won the Director's Cup. That's great, but it's not. They don't give SEC. Don't care about that.
No,
they don't care.
Do they? Do the SEC? Do they do podcasts about men's rowing? And
no, that men's rowing television contract ain't.
Yeah,
yeah.
Does Paul Feinbaum have people call in about men's rowing?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even know if they have men's rowing in the SEC.
I'm sure they do.
Do they?
I'm sure they do.
It's what? Where's the LSU team? In the swamp?
Well,
what do you mean men's rowing?
There's no rivers.
You can't because of the Gators.
There's no lakes in the man-made lakes they can do it.
And with their rowing team, do they have the car horn that signifies them crossing the finish line? Because they have the car horn at like Rio Olympics. And it was the funniest thing.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
I don't know. I'd have to go look through and the latest men's rowing titles in the SEC. But there's got to be some schools who do it, right?
Yeah. No. I'm sure they
like
do. It's great.
Look, it's great to be well-rounded in all your sports, except you're not that well-rounded. It's the sports that no one looks at. The sports that people care about, you've been bitterly disappointed. Quite a bit.
That's what you're shooting for. And you know what? Who knows? Texas A&M wasn't great in the Big 12. And look at them where they're at now. Hired the right coach. They're playing big time football. They're getting big time recruits. They've got preseason All Americans. It's you know what? Texas can get there too. Absolutely, Texas and should Texas shouldn't need the SEC to get there.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, they could use the SEC. They absolutely could because they are, in a lot of cases, getting out recruited by Texas A&M because of that SEC brand.
They're getting out recruited by Ohio State. Ohio State comes in here and takes who they want to.
Yep.
So maybe the SEC, maybe having that brand means a kid will decide, you know what, because the SEC has the label and people can talk about whether it's rightfully earned or not because a kid can be a first rounder anywhere as long as he's got the talent of the place where the great players go play. So if it helps you pick up an impact defensive end, which I can't remember the last time Texas had a great pass rusher, maybe it helps in that regard because that's where the best defensive players go and play, the SEC. Maybe that helps your cause.
All right. Man, we didn't even get to the coaches' stories. We didn't get to Dion. We didn't get to Nick.
Well, we had Tom.
We did have Tom.
Who complimented the show and then said some silly things.
And listen, Tom.
We love you.
We love you. You're great, but that whole... The SEC Directors, can't wait to get to
Director's Cup stuff.
Women's rowing.
Look, the SEC is a cynical.
I think John just got a little taste of his own medicine. Dill, you fell for it. Look, you fell hook, line, and sinker for the Director's Cup.
The deal is, I can't be someone who just goes, "Okay, you said something ridiculous. Let's move on." I have to respond to things because that's the show. When John, I know John says dopey things, and I gotta respond, or we don't have a show.
There's no show without dopey things.
And me
Tom, I say dopey things all the time.
And I have to respond to them like he said something serious.
Right,
that's how it goes.
Right. Texas needs to say sorry to A&M, admit they were wrong and we were right, agree to behave, and be nice. All right.
Agree to
maybe
behave.
If they do, if they apologize, maybe a little call, that would be nice.
Well, the understated thing is, as much as A&M's objecting to this, it may not matter.
Yeah.
They would need three other universities to go give them no's to keep Texas out. If the SEC has 11 yes votes, doesn't matter how badly A&M doesn't want it to happen.
Jackie, who's an Aggie, and okay, never been a better example of why UT doesn't fit or belong in the SEC than that Longhorn caller trying to lean into women's swimming titles as a reason. They actually believe conferences should feel blessed to have UT in their presence. I don't know about that.
Well, they do.
Texas people do. Yeah. It's 813 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Billy, you'll be first up. I promise we're going to try to get to the story. But you know what? You guys want to talk about this A&M UT thing? We're going to continue to do it. Whatever you guys want. It's your show. Because we don't give a rat's ass, to tell you the truth. So here, let's take a quick one. And when we come back, Billy.
That's inspiring.
Willie, you'll be first up. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
I love this. I kind of knew it would be this. It's just the sniping and bitterness.
Yeah, it's great. That's why we wish these two schools would play each other.
Yes.
Because these things become more of a thing, as opposed to, oh, they're separated by conference.
And, oh, by the way, how awesome was Thanksgiving when Texas and Texas A&M were playing? I mean, that's a big game in this. That's the biggest. Everybody had eyes on that game. Well, you don't have that anymore. OU and Texas play at 11 o'clock on November 6th every year. I mean, it's okay.
And it's...
Or October 6th, whatever the date is.
And it's interesting because... High noon used to be where all the big games were played, like in the 90s.
Yeah.
You think about the best,
but now
the game of the century stuff. It was high noon, and that's where that slot is. And Fox still does that because it's the only time they can win a time slot, because ESPN will put their best games at night or at 2:30, or CBS will do it at 2:30. But now it's like, if you're not in prime time, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
Michigan and Ohio State has been at 11 Central since the beginning of time, it feels like.
Yep,
and it
yep.
used to be a, it's a big deal. It used to be a bigger deal when Michigan, you know, was any good. And it would still be the year.
Harbaugh
in 2015 or 16, yeah, when they were competing to get in the playoff against Ohio State, who was in that realm too. That was a big game and it mattered. Didn't matter what time of the day it was, but prime time has become the slot, or 2:30 CBS has become that slot.
Yep. Those silly little swimming and diving titles, like the SEC, wouldn't love to claim those Olympic medals as well. SEC, America. Now, yeah, I guess they would. SEC would claim it. There's no question.
They would take it on.
Yeah, but they don't.
But
they don't.
It's not the reason they want Texas.
No. If the Longhorns get in the SEC, they will be the new Vandy, and that's not a compliment. When was being called Vandy ever a compliment?
I mean, those couple of years when they were good at basketball, that's it.
Or baseball.
Yeah, they're good at it. They're kind of disappointed this year,
yeah,
right?
But,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, right? Or that fancy book learning thing.
Yeah, but we're not looking for that.
Well, yeah, we are.
For who?
For what?
Who's looking for that now?
You got to have a Vandy in the conference just so you can bring the grade point up.
Yeah, I know Texas considers themselves one of those institutions of real higher learning. How's it going to feel like when you're associated with schools like, you know, Mississippi State and others. Is that something we're ignoring now?
Yeah.
You don't care about that now, right?
Well, listen, LSU might reject them because they're like, we're about the university. We're about education here. Texas they don't rate like we do, LSU.
I don't know if you've heard, our state just produced a spelling bee champion.
Yeah. That's right. LSU.
They don't.
That's all they care about is academics over there. Let's get
Bill. If by academics you mean making sure their players stay eligible, then yes, they do.
That's it. Frankie stays eligible. Let's get Billy in here. What up, Billy?
Hey. Well, John, you were just saying how, you know, LSU might want to reject on academics, but I had another angle on that whole thing. I wouldn't be surprised if every member institution in the SEC blocked Texas because, you know, when they brought over A&M, they could count on A&M to be, like, their biggest fans. You know, when Alabama wins anything, they've got, what, 500,000 alum from Aggieland celebrating their victories harder than they celebrate their own school. And, you know, I can't see Texas being that way.
You think, yeah, John, will Texas adopt the
SEC
thing? Everybody wins when the SEC wins?
I don't know. But I don't know that A&M is cheering real hard when Alabama wins. I don't know that either.
I think they use it as...
Well, that's our school. That's our conference.
That's our conference, yeah. Sure.
I mean, and they beat our ass. They beat us by 28 or 35 every year.
Yeah, but they're the national champion, yeah, so you wouldn't do any better, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I get that.
It's part of the SEC model to glom on Alabama or whoever's the top team at the time and use it as a way to prop yourself up. Mm-hmm. It's been that way for years, and it'll continue to be that way. I think, obviously, he's joking as I assume a Texas person, but I don't think Texas would adopt that because they believe they should be Alabama. They've been the, quote-unquote, at least in name, not necessarily as in far as performance, the Alabama, the Big 12, and because everything is supposed to revolve around them, although they don't show up on the field to play. I don't think Texas would adopt the whole SEC, that's great. As long as you do well, we all do well.
Listen, I had an argument with Kevin Sumlin when he was the University of Houston head coach, when Texas A&M was thinking about going over there. And I told it's the best thing in the world for Texas A&M. And he was like, they're going to get killed over there. They shouldn't go, blah, 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 blah. He ended up the Texas A&M head coach, and he ended up beating Alabama. But what his thought was, no. I was like adamant, no, Texas A&M needs to get out from under the shadow. Texas A&M needs to start their own life. They go over the SEC. Yeah, they're going to take their lumps. There's no question about it, but it's going to build the brand. And sure enough, that's everything that happened. I don't know that it's the right move for Texas. Texas right now is struggling with the Iowa States and, you know, gets a game out of Kansas State. And like you said, Kansas was an extra point away from beating them twice in six years.
TCU owns them.
TCU beats their ass. I'm not sure they want Alabama followed by Auburn, followed by Georgia, followed by LSU, followed by A&M, followed by Florida. I'm not sure you want that. I really am not. Because Texas brand can't be any bigger, really, than it is. It brings in more revenue than any school in the country, and A&M is right there with them. The two of them together are right there. But it's already a huge brand. Texas A&M needed to get out. I don't know that Texas wants this.
Right now, the thought about Texas is if they can get the right coach in, they have so much access to in-state talent, Texas can be a dominant force. I wouldn't call them a sleeping giant, but people believe Texas is just the right coach, and if they can get their administration settled away from winning, partly because of, you know, the competition they face, and that they're just finding the right combination away from dominating and being back to where they were. If they get into the SEC and Alabama's putting it on them every year, LSU takes them behind the woodshed, then people start thinking, does Texas have the ability to be one of the best teams in the country? Because right now, it feels like just get it together, Texas, and you'll be able to, along with Oklahoma, run that conference. I don't think just getting it together and finding the right coach is enough, because you're going to have multiple superpowers that you're going to have to deal with, when right now you only have to deal with one. And one you probably believe when you're running at peak efficiency you can do better than. Because Oklahoma has to dip into Texas and other places to procure talent. Texas won't have to do that. I think it'll change the impression of Texas, because losing to TCU at 11 o'clock on Fox is a lot different than if the matchup of the day is you against LSU and LSU beat you by 30.
Yeah. Hornets fan 29. Everyone's afraid of what Texas could do in the SEC, John Granato included. Listen, the SEC, Hornets fan, I am not, honestly, it's not scary. It's really
Texas
not.
Texas doesn't scare.
It's that Texas doesn't scare you. I mean, when you're playing Georgia and Florida and LSU and Alabama and Auburn, and Texas isn't going to scare you. They're really not. But it makes it brings all the waves up. That's for sure. Texas and Oklahoma would bring the SEC into it would be unfair to SEC schools because look at who Ohio State's playing, Nebraska and Rutgers and Northwestern and Michigan even, who's crappy, and all of these schools that are really not all that good. Getting through the SEC schedule when you add Oklahoma and Texas to it, holy crap. Whoever comes out, and listen, the SEC has been represented every year in the playoff and in the BCS even before that. Not every year because Auburn was undefeated one year and didn't get in, but there's a reason for it because of that gauntlet that you have to go through, and it would guarantee them a spot, guarantee them, or with a 12-team playoff, it might guarantee them three spots.
Yeah, and that's the thought, that a 12-team playoff gets you three SEC teams at likely, and then if you're one of those teams who's going to not be Alabama, or if LSU's up, or if Auburn's up, or you want to be one of those teams, as Texas or Oklahoma take a spot away from you where you were. Like, Auburn has had opportunities over the last 5 or 6 years where either they're losing to Georgia in an SEC title game, or they're making a late run, but they've accrued a couple losses. We saw A&M last year. Do you want extra obstacles where there's another team battling for that final spot when it expands to 12? You probably don't, but, you know, the money people, the guys who make the decisions based on money, like a Greg Sankey, will say, you know what? The money is better for everyone, so get over it.
Yeah. Texas can't eventually compete in the SEC? Come on, A&M did it. No,
Texas they can.
Could. They can. It would take a little while, but yeah, they
but
can.
They absolutely
will.
They could, but I think their brand would be hurt initially because, like I said, right now people think Texas is one guy, one coach away. You go to the SEC, A&M has proved it. It takes a while. Texas is a while away.
And then, you know, and Daniel says, I feel like UT is a lot like the Astros. They play up to the level of good teams, play down to the level of crumb bumps. So maybe higher level of competition every week. Well, it will, and it'll get better football players. And they go to the SEC, they are going to get better football players. They are going to have to play up and play, you know, more. It'll be more intense week in and week out. They should be deep enough with the Texas talent here. No, absolutely. Well, Texas will. It'll take a little while.
Well, they're getting they're not getting all of the best because, like I said, people come in here and take what they want. Apparently, Ohio State feels like it's a Columbus South down here. They just come get guys when they need them. But they get top talent. I think it's where that talent is positioned. Texas doesn't get great pass rushers, or at least they don't turn into great pass rushers. Texas wide receivers, we talk about they look like big time athletes. They don't get great wide receivers. They don't get guys like Colin Johnson.
They will though. I mean, you know, a couple of guys would turn it around. And oh, by the way, well, when being is that? In the SEC.
The SEC is fine, but it's not like Texas doesn't get the best guys rankings wise. But for whatever reason, those guys don't turn into great players.
Well, I think that's a lot of coaching development right there. 828 ESPN 9 Day Hammondhead. Assistant coaches are just as important as any head coach. As a matter of fact, they make a lot of head coaches. 828 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What you got to talk about? What we got to talk about right now is GiveMeTheVIN.com. This is the greatest time ever in the history of ever to sell your car. It is not even arguable. What you can get right now, like, I mean, there's stories of people going, buying a new car off the lot, driving it, and going to sell it and getting like $3,000 more for it. And usually when you buy a new car, it immediately when you drive it off the lot, you lose thousands of dollars. And right now, you might even make thousands of dollars off of it because that's how desperate the people are for used cars. So if you've got to get out of that vehicle, however COVID affected you or whatever the case may be, you lost your job, whatever the case may be, why you got to sell that car, doesn't matter. Now's the time to do it because you're going to get the most for it. And who's going to give you the most for it? It's not even arguable. It's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If he can't beat that price, whatever it is, he's going to send you $100 from CarMax or your dealership. GiveMeTheVIN.com. You want to sell your car? GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, so we told you about the coaching thing. There's coaching news out there that we got to get to. College football coaching news. Well, it starts with Dion. So if you didn't hear it earlier in the week, Dion was at the SWAC. Well, he was actually on a Zoom call. And this was the exchange he had with Nick Suss, a reporter. Here is Dion. You'll hear him walk out of this thing because of what he felt was disrespect.
Okay, let me get Nick. Let me get Nick. Nick's a good guy.
Nick Suss, you're up.
Hey, Dion, I was just wondering if you could...
Oh, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Dion. Okay.
I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Dion.
All right. There's been some...
So Dion got up and walked out. So it was refuted that there were plenty. Listen, you don't call Nick Nick. He'll destroy you. Well, it's simply not the case because there's plenty of instances where reporters call Nick Nick. That sounded like a song. That wasn't a Nick song.
It's a song we came up with.
Yeah.
And, well, he's a rich friend.
Right. And here it is.
No, it's not.
It's not playing.
I feel his pain.
Of course, it's frozen.
It's frozen.
I feel his pain.
I do have Nick's actual response,
okay,
though. Let's
so
play
when
that.
Asked about whether you could, and the guy said, "Hey, Nick, can we call you Nick?" Here's Nick. Yes, I believe it was yesterday at the SEC media day.
There's been some talk in the college football world about how we should address head coaches. If it was up to you, what is your preference? Is it Nick, head coach Nick? Nick, how would you like to be addressed?
Look, I respond to just about anything, and I've been called just about everything. So not something that's really important to me, but I think everybody should have the opportunity to sort of create or make the way their expectation is of how they get addressed, and it's not something that's really that significant to me.
There's been some talk.
A bunch of people said, "No, Dion, you're wrong." Here are examples of press conferences throughout the years and how Nick Saban is addressed.
Going right here. Hey, Nick. John Talty of AL.com.
Hey, Nick, Bob Holt, Arkansas.
Hey, Nick, just wanted to say, first off...
Kent Rowe on the right side.
Hey, Nick. You had a...
Hey, Nick, Rick Carley here. You mentioned...
Ron Higgins, TigerDetails.com. Nick, there's been a lot made about...
So, Nick. So it goes on and on and on. So, I don't know why Dion is so sensitive about this, if feeling disrespected, but... This came out. Dion posted this on Twitter after he walked off after being called Dion. Respect is something that you must demand and stand for. Give respect and honor those that should be respected. And if you don't respect them, don't allow your feelings to escalate the situation into something else unhealthy. Always maintain your peace and joy because it cost you dearly. And don't allow anyone or anything to take that away. Learn to walk away and see another day your way.
But
Hashtag truth.
Didn't his feelings escalate the situation?
He actually did.
Because Nick Suss, who I'm going to refer to as Nick, not Reporter Suss, seemed quite okay with the situation. He was smirking at it the entire time. I think one person's emotions escalated the situation. And I don't know. I don't know how many press conferences apparently not many that that he's heard for Nick Saban, and by who I mean I'm talking about is Deion, because it's pretty clear that Nick Saban doesn't really care. It's not something that concerns him how you refer to him, Coach.
No.
Nick.
No, and it's not. Listen, we're all men here. It's not being. We're not. Nobody's being disrespectful. What respect have you earned from? Respect is something that you must demand and stand for. Well, no, respect is earned.
Look, if he decides...
Respect is earned, Deion. And oh, by the way, it's not disrespectful to call you by your name. That's not disrespectful. Okay, if you're a doctor, I'm probably going to call you doc. If you're a coach, I got to call you coach? What, because of that 8 years of school that you that took? Or did you just get done playing and you said, I'm a coach now? I mean, stop. That there's a level of disrespect because somebody called you by your name. Anyway, Deion, well, and by the way, he's self-branded Coach Prime.
Yeah, that's on his Twitter. I don't understand it. If you decide, and I think Saban went on to talk about how people are allowed to decide how they want to be called because, you know, he doesn't really particularly care about the subject matter. If Deion Sanders says, I prefer that you call me Coach Prime, and the reporter goes, okay, I'll call you Coach Prime, or Coach Sanders, whatever he'd like, but don't use Nick Saban as your example when it's clearly wrong.
Right.
Nick Saban does not care, and Nick Saban has plenty of other things to worry about. What he's called, as long as it's respectful, is probably not one of them. It seems like Deion just decided to make a spectacle of himself and go, you know what? Let's see what I can get away with, because he clearly didn't have any basis of evidence to say that this how it went down.
No.
There's also speculation that he probably has a problem with that
reporter.
That news paper outlet. Overall, yeah.
That news outlet, they did something. They reported on a kid before some kind of...
It was a domestic violence charge.
Right.
Against a recruit, not even
an actual
player.
Right, well, it was a big-time recruit that was actually
going there
because of the domestic violence issue. And he would have been at a bigger school if not for that.
Yeah, and Coach Prime said he didn't want that particular reporter, not Nick Suss, but the reporter who did the story, he didn't want that guy covering or talking to his coaches or his players because he didn't like the report. So is it simply he wanted to take a shot at that paper?
Maybe. He's got zero tolerance for that paper. There's got to be more to it. But you know what? Lean into it now. Hey, call me Coach Prime. That's it.
I'm not going to call. Prime isn't your name. I'm not calling you Coach Prime.
Coach Prime.
Coach Sanders, I'll do.
Mike Leach was asked. Now, okay, so we heard Dabo. He doesn't think 12 teams is a good idea. Neither does Mike Leach. Dabo thinks that it should probably stay at 4. Coach Leach thinks it should be 64. A 64-team playoff. Because then Mississippi State might get in.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe.
They wouldn't have gotten last year.
No, they wouldn't. There's a lot of years Mississippi State won't get in at 64, and that makes it look even worse. Right? So that would
not
be.
You know, it's not what's not surprising that Leach and Dabo are on the opposite ends of the spectrum on something.
Right.
Big shock that they don't agree on something and are clearly have clearly differentiated. Different opinions on it.
Well, Leach left Washington State, and who took over?
Nick Rolovich, the former Hawaii coach.
And so, and then the Pac-12 media days, are they coming or are they here?
They're not.
They're starting, right?
They're starting.
Yeah, they're starting. Well, Nick's not going to be there because he didn't vaccinate.
You mean Coach Rolovich, not
Nick. I'm sorry. Did I say Nick? I meant Coach Rolovich.
Yes.
Coach...
I don't know if he has a nickname.
Prime Rolovich.
Yeah.
I don't know what is.
He was a good quarterback, but at Hawaii, I'm not sure he developed the nickname.
So what are the odds now? Okay, so Washington State's head coach says, I'm not going because I'll do it via Zoom because I didn't vaccinate. Under over number of games Washington State forfeits this year. I'm going to go 2.5.
Now, last year they had multiple forfeits, but that was kind of across the Pac-12. 2.5 out of 12? You Well, I don't know what the Pac-12 schedule, but I get what you're saying. They'll have 12 games canceled or postponed.
Well,
or
if your head coach isn't pushing it, if your head coach isn't even vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Now, the school is. The school itself would like everyone to get vaccinated. They've made it known. They're not forcing it on. Like the ACC, some schools, you have to get vaccinated to be on campus.
Don't you think it's mixed messages that the school says, hey, we'd like everybody to get vaccinated, and the head coach, the most visual person at the university, is like, I ain't doing it.
The AD in the story says, I've had multiple conversations with the coach about this, and he just, I respect his right not to do it. But the AD is certainly wants it to happen because, like you said, there's an example being said of, whatever. I'm not doing it if the coach doesn't.
I guess he's okay with.
Look, Nick Rolovich started that job under weird circumstances in terms of he had some issue back and forth with players that went on Twitter where players weren't particularly fond of the way he talked to them. He hasn't got off to a great start. He went 1-3 last year in a shortened year. Not really his fault in that regard, but it's not been so smooth since he's been there.
Yeah, no, not really smooth. 843 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Let's go. Your thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma. Your thoughts on the Astros blowing the bullpen, blowing another one yesterday. Your thoughts on anything that's going on right now. We've got Rockets to talk about, too. We could do that on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We just had the Deion story. Those of you just joining us, Deion, none too pleased that he was being called Deion, but even though that's his name.
Yeah.
And it seems to be his name. It has been his name for a while now.
It's his name. And if you know what? You want to get called, you want to be called Coach Sanders, that's fine, I guess. Or whatever you want to be called, you want to make that known. But don't use Nick Saban as your example when Nick Saban doesn't have the problem you think he'd have with it.
No. Nick Saban doesn't care if you call him Nick.
Just say, hey, I'd want to be called Coach Prime. That's why the reporter smirked at him because, no, I've called Nick before and he has no problem with it. A respectful ask might have gone over better. Hey, I'd rather you call me Coach Prime. Don't use a false example.
Yeah, right. Well, I think he probably thought that, and it was untrue. Let's get Lorenzo in. He wants to chime in on this subject. What do you say, Lorenzo?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm going to try to make this quick, man, but this is why Deion will never, ever be successful at Jackson State. It's just things that he doesn't understand about HBCUs. And, first of all, he went to Florida State. They've never heard for money. Never heard for money. Then you leave there, go to the Falcons, and, you know, the Cowboys. When they say jump, the media says how high. And he's not used to that type of treatment. And what he doesn't understand about HBCUs is they're used to getting less. They're used to getting, look, and I'm an HBCU graduate. I went to school at Southern University in Baton Rouge. We got 15% of the budget, and LSU got 90% of the state budget. So everybody splits that stuff. So and that's not the point. The point is that he has to understand that people that the players that he deals with, that go, and the media that he deals with, they understand the level that they're on. They're not on an NFL level. I really think that if Deion ends up at a major program like a Florida State, goes back to Florida State or, you know, a larger program, he'll have success. But he's not going to have success at an HBCU because we just don't get down like that. Most of the people that go to the games go there for the halftime show anyway. We come for the fans. We like the artistry of the fans. After any game, by the time halftime's over, most stadiums, they go to half capacity. So when he grasps that concept, I think that he'll just move on. I think he's got maybe two more years left there, but I just he has to understand he's dealing with a different realm, and it's not what he's used to.
Yeah, I'll hang up. I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, the at that level where he was, you're pampered, you're coddled, you're everything is first class. You're staying at the Ritz-Carlton. You're staying at, you know, it's just different.
And
it's
you can be, and you could dictate. Like if Deion, so let's say whatever his dream is, if his dream is to be the head coach of Florida State, and maybe he's successful at Jackson State, and he eventually rises to a level where Florida State is good with hiring him as their head coach, he may be able to tell Tallahassee media, hey, call me Coach Prime or don't address me. And they'll be like, you know what? I have to because I need the access. I can't be someone who gets banned from covering Florida State football. The Clarion Ledger.
He left.
Whatever. Whatever. Okay. You have an issue with us and I can't cover Jackson State football. I'm only here because of you anyway.
Listen, you need me more than I need you.
Yes.
Deion. So yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. It is a different, you're going to have to, but the whole thing.
But this
is just,
isn't even a real thing.
He feels some kind of, because one man is calling another man by their first name, he feels some kind of disrespect. Like there's some disrespect in calling him Deion.
And I'm sure the young men that he coaches on the high school level and now in college would have addressed him as Coach Sanders or Coach Prime, whatever. They're not going to call you Deion because you're their superior. But that's a reporter who looks at you as one man talking to another. Yeah. He's going to call you Deion because that's your name.
Yep. All right, so yesterday, Rafael Stone and the staff was working at the Houston Food Bank, and Rafael Stone, who is the general manager of your Houston Rockets basketball team, asked about Kevin Porter. So I think the question, I think in a roundabout way, is now Kevin Porter and Jalen Green are apparently tight. They want to play together. Jalen Green obviously would love for the Rockets to draft. He's not going to be the number one overall pick. More than likely, he's not going to be the number one overall pick. He wants to go to the Rockets. He and Kevin Porter are apparently boys. But the question is that a duplicate? Well, Rafael Stone seems to think that Kevin Porter Jr. is more of a point guard. He's more of a point guard than he is a shooting guard.
And Kevin Porter Jr. tweeted something along those lines
as well.
Last week as well, I believe.
Yeah. Stone on Porter, he's a really big, really athletic guy. He can make plays on and off the ball. He can do a lot. He's a really talented basketball player who needs to become a really good basketball player, and I feel good about his progress since he's been with us. Kevin's talented enough that he's positionless. I do believe his best skill right now is passing. His court vision, his handle allows him to make plays for others that is already at a near elite level. I guess we've seen that. I saw more of a playmaker than a guy who could generate his own shot, which was good. Don't get me wrong. I guess I'd have to go back and
I think elite.
Well, just watching him, I guess.
An elite.
He had a lot of the same skill set that James Harden has.
An elite is being used liberally here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a smaller sample size on a bad team where you could live with his mistakes because who cares about winning? That is an aggressive description of what Kevin Porter was last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was fine. I mean, as a player on a team where all you're trying to do is figure out who can be a part of your future, but elite?
Well, I mean, he's the general manager.
Very favorable assessment of what went on last year.
Listen, he was, if not for his issues off the court,
he was fine.
Well, he's young.
That's what I'm saying.
He's
but
young.
He used the term elite. I didn't use it.
He did. What he put up a couple of huge games for him.
Congratulations! And do you want to go over the overall numbers for Kevin Porter?
No,
Jr. last
I don't want to.
You don't
want to
do that
right now.
No,
no, I'm not interested in that right now. You're nitpicking
on
the elite comment. It's a general manager talking about his player.
Don't use elite then if you don't want me to nitpick.
No. How about you just let it slide, Dion, no. And you just move Dion? Along.
Yeah. Dion?
That's what you're being, Dion.
No, you can call me by my first name. In fact, you've gone me extra step and called me out of, you're actually calling me out of my name. Now I should get upset and leave.
You are Dale.
It's about my name.
I mean, it kind of
is. You don't call Nick Nate, so call me Dell.
No. Listen. If it's your name, it's your name.
Let me give
and
you
oh, by
some
the way, let's get past that a general manager was given superlatives about one of his players.
I can't when it's not true.
And what the,
I can't
what
when it's
the
not true.
Actual
Tell
deal
the truth.
Is.
Tell the truth.
Can Kevin Porter and Jalen Green coexist?
Sure, when they're not murdering each other of who has the ball. Sure.
Now, see, I thought that was going to be the case with Chris Paul coming here. He and James Harden going to punch. And then Russell Westbrook, they're going to be punching each other in the face at half court.
Chris Paul is an actual point guard. As much as he loves control, he's a point guard.
Yeah, but James Harden massages the ball more than anybody in the NBA.
And it worked for a year plus, and then they had to separate.
And they hated each other.
Yeah, and they were old. As much as they were immature about it at the end, they were at least older players. You got two guys and who had made a name for themselves already. You got two guys who haven't done that yet. Look, if their personalities mesh, that's great. I said this before. Whoever you draft, if you turn – and Raphael Stone will play the clip, didn't guarantee that they're going to draft – they're going to use that pick to draft the guy, you know, open to trades and stuff. But if you're going to draft the guy, considering what Kevin Porter has, you know, been a part of in his first couple years in the NBA – I want a guy who says to Kevin Porter Jr., at least off the court, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to hang out? Nah, yeah. I'm good. I want the adult in the room to be the 19-year-old as opposed to the 20-year-old that Kevin Porter Jr. is.
So would a Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Christian Wood, Jay Sean Tate, seems like a lot of guys doing a lot of the same things. John Wall.
Yeah, you got him they're going to try to get him out of here. Look, the Kevin Porter Jr. thing with Jalen Green, if that becomes the backcourt, that's fine. You're not going to win. You're trying to figure out who you have and who can be a part of your future. Look, the Cavs did it with they drafted Kevin Porter Jr., but he had his issues. But they had Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, and they've decided, despite Colin Sexton's improvement, that – we don't think we should pay this guy what he wants because we kind of like Darius Garland more for what we want going forward, and they might draft a guard this year. So that could play out where you have one guy, you have both guys having pretty good years, and you decide, well, one guy's better for our future than the other, and before we have to pay the other guy, we'll trade him. I don't think it matters right now who duplicates what because you're just trying to find guys.
Yeah, no. And, oh, by the way, duplicating Christian Wood, he's only got 2 years left on the deal.
Yeah,
you don't know if he's
resigning.
Evan Mobley. If you're taking, you don't know how Kevin Porter Jr. could blow up at any time. You don't know how long he's going to be here.
Yeah.
All these things. But asked about the draft, asked about what they're looking at, here's Raphael Stone.
No, I think that's – I actually do believe that's the wrong approach. I think the right approach is to do the work, like work as hard as you can, use every minute, and keep every option open. It's not as simple, like, it's still not guaranteed we're picking, or we're picking in that spot. Like, it's more likely than not, it always is. It's very hard to do. The NBA is a very illiquid market. And so you should never bet on any transaction. You should always bet on the status quo. But notwithstanding, it's our job to figure out what possibilities exist. And so if you lock yourselves in, that has real consequences. It locks in your thinking. So I don't do that. I really don't. And so if they said we have to do it in 5 minutes, we would be prepared. We've done the work. We would be prepared. But I don't want to tell you or anybody else it's predetermined. I think that's not the right path for us.
So I guess he's asked what's going to happen with, are you going to make the pick? Do you have the decision on who the pick is? And the answer is no. The answer is no.
And we've heard this past week that they have aggressively pursued a potential Damian Lillard trade. So that second pick would have to be involved, you imagine, in that trade to be attractive enough for Portland to start thinking about making that deal. And if that deal were to come through, it'd have to be right before the draft or on draft night. So it's not that far away. So it's the right approach. Why are you locking yourself into anything right now? You have a week to make a decision, or just over a week at least. Actually, it's a week. It's Thursday.
Yeah. No, they got a week away. They're a week away from making this decision. And he, by the way, he worked with Daryl Morey for all those years. It is not a lock that you make a draft pick.
No.
And, it is anything but a lock.
And I don't know how patient Tillman is. If there's a deal in place to go get a legit, I'm not saying Lillard, but a legitimate all-star with the use of that pick, does Tillman go, hey, last year was rough. I don't need two more years of this.
Well, we did a sports map video, and we could talk about that Dame Lillard thing. I kind of flipped in the middle of the sports map. I thought it was a silly conversation, Dame Lillard, but I don't think so anymore. We'll do it on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.